From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Addiction has been, is, and most likely will continue to be a huge problem in our community, state, and nation. And the proliferation of both legal and illegal drugs only serves to worsen the issue. Luckily, addiction treatment has come a long way in the past few decades, and society in general is more accepting of the idea that addiction, like depression or anxiety, is a disease that needs and deserves judgment-free care. Locally, an organization is at the forefront of this new approach to addiction treatment and support, Willamette Family. Today on Oregon on the Record, you'll hear from the organization's leadership and hear how addiction and substance abuse treatment is changing with the times and evolving to serve the whole person and creating a support network like an extended family. You'll hear about it next on Oregon on the Record. Addiction and substance abuse touches most people, and many of us know friends and family members who struggle. Today on the show, you'll hear a conversation with an organization that works to not only treat addiction, but to create a support system very much like a family. Eva Williams, the executive director, and Colleen Smith, the director of community relations for Willamette Family, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for the invitation, Michael.
Thank you so much. We're so pleased to be here today.
Great. Eva, let's start with you. Sure. You know, tell us about Willamette Family. What does the organization do? What's its mission?
That's a great question because we just reformatted our mission.
Okay.
It's brand new in the past year, and this is part of our rebranding that we've been doing focused for our entire agency. So we like to start off with that we're dedicated to families and we're committed to our community and that we celebrate recovery. And then we also provide hope and relief from substance addiction and a pathway to recovery. So we believe that part of our philosophy is that recovery is possible for everyone. We offer personalized substance addiction treatment options for anyone who comes to our door. And we just really want to create some new beginnings for people.
Yeah, yeah. Colleen, talk about the way in which you communicate that. Because obviously, you know, there's, it's often been said that, you know, Eugene and Lane County have a lot of nonprofits. And sometimes I imagine it's difficult to kind of, you know, let people know what you do. Because there's obviously many, many organizations out there trying to gain voice. Talk about that.
So we're in actually... Eva had mentioned that we are in the process of, you know, that we changed our mission statement and we're also in the process of rebranding and really going back to the roots of who Willamette Family is, which is celebrating recovery and being there for anyone who wants help. And that is our primary responsibility to our community. And how we're reaching many different people is by social media, by Instagram, Facebook. We're in the beginning, well, we're almost done with creating a brand new website that will be very user-friendly and conveying, like, again, who we are, which is creating a world of recovery. And so our mission is to really show that we're Willamette Family, but the difference with us is that we're not Willamette Family Cancer Institute, we're not Willamette Family Dental, but we're Willamette Family, and we're here to serve everyone in our community, and we think of you as our family.
Okay. Eva, you know, I'd love to sort of talk about the program and you know, give us the sort of the 30,000 foot overview of how you provide recovery services to so many people, so many families.
Okay, 30,000 feet. So when we look down there from that level, what you see with Willamette Family is a full continuum of care. And what that means is outreach. So finding people that are in need of services and inviting them to come in. We provide medical withdrawal, and we carry the client. We have the ability to carry that client and their family throughout the entire course of their treatment services. And this can include residential treatment, outpatient treatment, partial hospitalization, and we invite their family to participate as well. And so that can include some family counseling. And at the end of our treatment spectrum, if you want to say, is recovery supported housing, and that could be very long term. It could be up to a year. And so 30,000 foot, a client can access our services, really acquire everything that they need, and spend about 2 years with us.
Wow. Well, so Colleen, I think what's interesting, what I just heard from Eva is that word continuum. I mean, I imagine many people think of recovery services as, you know, the old school idea of drying out and maybe getting some tools and then it's kind of good luck. But it sounds like you really help people from the very beginning to so much beyond just, you know, not using or not having a substance abuse immediate problem for so much more.
Oh my gosh. You know, and I'm going to go back to our name, Willamette Family, and family part. When you think of family, usually it brings up, you know, feelings of comfort and joy. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of the people that we serve, they don't always have that comfort and joy when they think of their family. Mm-hmm. And what the amazing thing is we get to become their family, and we get to teach them how to develop their own family. And that's their family by choosing. And we get to do that with them for the long haul. Mm. So they may be in clinical services with us for 2 years, but they will always be part of the Willamette family. They know that they can come back at any time for any reason and that the door is always open. And we always meet them with a welcome handshake and smile because we're glad that they're there. Sometimes they may be there for being a part of alumni. Sometimes they might be there to be part of our client council, which advises us on how to be and do the best services that are going to be most impactful.
Great. Eva, I'm wondering too, you know, I'm hearing you use the word family, and it sounds like it's a fairly elastic definition. It's not necessarily, you know, biological family. It really sounds like a support group. And talk about that need of going through something like recovery is probably nearly impossible to do alone, isn't it?
It is impossible to do it alone. In fact, addiction is one of the loneliest places a person can find themselves. And so what we want to do is invite someone to incorporate family as they define it, even repair relationships with their family members, and start to develop what you just referred to as a support group. Because we never want that person to be alone again, and nor do they.
Yeah, yeah. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Eva Williams and Colleen Smith. Eva is the executive director, and Colleen is the director of community relations for Willamette Family. You know, Colleen, I want to ask you this. You know, we're still, even though it's been several years now, we're still kind of coming out of this generational challenge of COVID. And certainly I've heard from a lot of different people that created extra strain on people, especially when it comes to addiction and addiction abuse issues. Talk about that. Talk about how that singular event has really created such a need for an organization such as yourself today and going forward.
Oh my goodness, yes. COVID, many people experienced many different things, but one of the things that COVID really created was isolation. And for people with addiction issues, isolation is the worst thing, the very worst thing, because you're already in a place of feeling lonely and hopeless, and now we have this mandate where you cannot go out anywhere, you cannot do anything. And then, you know, the other part is, you know, you could order alcohol and have it delivered to your house and, you know, all these like different things. And so, you know, we really tried as an organization to come up with the quickest way that we could respond to the needs of our community and show them that they are not alone and that we're here to help. And so I'm very proud to say that our agency like acted on a dime and we were able to get Zoom up and running. And then the other thing that we did is we had peer support going out to the house, bringing food, talking with people. And now, you know, we did all these wonderful things, but the other part that it kind of created was a sense of, I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to go to treatment. I don't want to, you know, and so then we were faced with that. How do we overcome this and deal with the anxiety and stress that they may be feeling just with going back out into society again? And so again, we relied very heavily on our peer support, our treatment team, and them being so instrumental in understanding and reaching out and being there at the same level that they were to bring them in. Without them, we couldn't have done what we've done at this point, which has been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Eva, there's also this nexus too of, you know, especially in our community, you have a lot of people who are suffering through addiction. There's also a tremendous amount of challenges with being unhoused. And of course you had, you know, the pandemic. How has a lot of these, you know, these outside issues, you know, converged, and how are you able to deal with it and help people? Because, you know, compared to maybe a decade or two ago, things have gotten perhaps even more challenging than less challenging in our community, in our state, and in our nation.
Absolutely. And I think that the COVID era was a feeding ground for addiction, mm-hmm. for people who had addiction, the acuity rose. For people who had a social drinking habits, those habits increased. And so this isolation that Colleen was referring to, again, is that place where addiction lives and thrives and feeds. And so where we're at today is we are trying to pick up respond to a large period of neglect of this illness. And that was pre-COVID as well.
Yeah.
And so when we neglect something, you start to see its deterioration over time. And while it might be slow, and for most of us, it might feel all of a sudden,
yeah.
but it actually moved quite slowly. And so the aftermath, it was just really impacted by COVID. So the aftermath we see every day on our streets, at our doors, you know, and even next door, our neighbors and our family members.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't that long ago when I think that society in general, you know, didn't want to talk openly about addiction and abuse of substances. Talk about how you see it. Have we become better at seeing it for what it is, which is a mental health issue and not some sort of shame in inducing weakness?
You know, definitely we have come a long ways in the way that people talk about mental health and addiction issues. We still have a long way to go. I think right now it's more socially acceptable to talk more openly about having depression and anxiety than it is still to talk about I'm a drug addict and I'm addicted to alcohol mm-hmm. and opiates and I struggle every day. And one of the things that we aim to do at Willamette Family is to remove stigma mm-hmm. Because stigma will prevent people from coming and getting help. And, you know, it really is powerful to have other people when you come into an agency that, like our peer support, saying, hey, I've been where you've been. We have shared lived experience. You know, I'm here to support you and take you down that road to kind of start to remove that stigma. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, there are so many people in Lane County who are in recovery themselves and don't openly always say that because of stigma. They're worried about what's my boss going to think if they know the truth about who I am, even though what we don't tend to really talk about is that, yes, addiction is a brain disease. However, you know, we do recover, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of us that are here in recovery. And we participate in many events to remove that stigma and bring awareness. One of them is Walk for Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, it's to say, hey, like, no matter where you are, and no matter how many times you've tried, you know, it doesn't matter. Just keep coming back. Because, you know, the truth of it is we don't put stigma on someone who has diabetes and needs to go to the doctor, you know, like multiple times a day to have their sure. insulin levels adjusted or their blood sugar checked. But we tend to do that as a society with people who have addiction issues. So, you know, that's the wonderful thing about my job, is that I get to bring hope and awareness and reduce stigma and be that shining bright light to our community, saying, hey, we're here to help and anyone can do it. And there's no shame in what we do or who we were.
Yeah. Eva, something that Colleen mentioned, obviously sometimes, you know, a program may not be successful the first time for an individual. And this idea that sometimes it takes a long time and perhaps some stumbles and so on and so forth. Talk about that sort of that idea of communicating to someone that, you know, even if there's a stumble, there's still hope at the end of this, or there's hope in the continuum.
Mm-hmm. I think something that not everyone realizes is that addiction's like any other chronic disease, and it's progressive over time. Mm-hmm. And the factor that is inclusive of addiction is also inclusive in, say, diabetes and heart failure, these other chronic illnesses, is a little form of denial. Mm. Maybe people don't feel that they're as ill as they actually are. What research has discovered is it takes about 7 treatment stays. And that could be any variety of treatment, but 7 stays for someone to actually reach that place, on average, mm-hmm. Where they're finding hope and recovery, and they may have achieved abstinence or significantly reduced their substance use. And so we always want to present that to the patients so that they know that those little stumbles and those little relapses are things that may happen. And so if we know that, then we can plan for it. And we invite the patient to plan for that with their family members, with their other therapists they may have at other agencies throughout our community, is what is that person going to do if they do start using again? Mm-hmm. And those plans become so effective that people will come back to Willamette Family and ask for help without that stigma that Colleen referred to, because they know that that was their plan and we were already welcoming them prior to them leaving the first time.
Got it. You know, Colleen, as I understand it, you're expanding your services. Talk about that.
Yes, we are. We are so excited about we received money from the state of Oregon for shovel ready projects, and Willamette Family was like, oh my gosh, we need to increase access because that is such a huge barrier in Lane County, not just in Lane County, but the whole state. And so our team came together and we are expanding Buckley Detox Services, and we can't tell you how moved and excited our team is, our staff is, because, you know, every day that somebody comes in seeking services and they don't have a bed, our staff are devastated. Yeah. They're not, you know, people don't get to see that, but we do. And so when we found out we were awarded this money and we were able to get that building and increase our services to expand to more people, people were doing happy dances. So full of joy. And I just have to say that our facilities manager, who's head of that project, her heart is so completely invested in this because she knows what it's going to do for our community.
And talk about it. Is it open now? Will it be open? And how many more people will you be able to serve? Any kind of numbers you have around how this expansion might be able to, again, serve more people?
So they're in the process of renovating the Salvation the old Salvation Army building, mm-hmm. on 7th, okay. I believe, and we anticipate that this is in, again, with construction, you never know.
Sure, of course.
But we're hoping, we believe that it'll be about a year, and in that process they're going to be able to increase our medical detox withdrawal beds to, I believe, 35, and then they'll also be adding another program, which is pretty fantastic, mm-hmm. And I believe it's 20 beds.
Okay.
And it's really what it's going to be is a stabilization. So if we have individuals who are coming from detox and they're going to be going into res, but maybe they need a little bit more stabilization because the drugs that people are detoxing from nowadays, mm-hmm. are really hard, then they'll have this stabilization area to go to and stay and then transition into residential, or they may just stay in the stabilization area and then transition into outpatient, whatever service is most appropriate for that person. But in total, that is 55 beds.
Wow.
So right now, our poor little detox only has 22 beds, mm-hmm. and it does not do the job that we need for our community. So we can't be more thrilled than to increase access and really show that we are here with a solution and that we're moving quickly and acting like there is no tomorrow, because there isn't
sure,
when it comes
sure.
to addiction and death.
Sure. Even, you know, my last question for you is, I understand that you've been in this, the Willamette family has been in operation for 60 years, you know, and that shows, you know, the longevity of the organization. But I wanted to ask you, you know, kind of looking forward, you know, what is your hope, you know, for the community for the next 60 years?
Mm, 60 years, yes. So we're celebrating this year 60 years of being in service. And I think that we're so proud of our humble beginnings mm-hmm. and where we're at today. So when we add another 60 years to it and we look towards our future, we hope that we continue to respond to the community's needs quickly, without hesitation, and within our specialty,
yeah.
right? You know, we have the entire community, all the nonprofit organizations and the county organizations, we're all responding as quickly as we can to the crisis that we have at hand, because people are dying, and they're dying very quickly, and it's extremely unfortunate. But we have a number of programs that are helping to reduce the harm to people. And what Willamette Family focuses on is treatment. And so what I look forward to in the next 60 years, if I was to be here, let's say that, if I was here 60 years, is that our growth matched the needs of our community and also the needs of those who are outside of our community. Maybe they're in rural areas. Maybe there are other communities that need our help too.
Well said, well said. Eva Williams, the Executive Director of Willamette Family, and Colleen Smith, the Director of Community Relations, thank you both for coming in and talking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow, you'll hear about a relatively unknown but critical group of folks that will play a huge role in our community in the event of a major disaster like the Cascadia earthquake. They're ham radio operators. And in the event of the big one, they may become the only communication system we'll have that works. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.